This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington. Here are some of the stories NPR News is working on this afternoon. More questions at the White House today about when President Bush became aware that a CIA officer had been exposed by someone in the administration. And a report released today outlines the State Department's public diplomacy efforts in parts of the world with large Muslim populations. The study presents recommendations on new ideas and policy initiatives. Those stories are coming up on All Things Considered from NPR News. Tomorrow on Talk of the Nation, report cards have changed so much recently that they can be virtually indecipherable. Do you know how to interpret your child's health and fitness grade or your own mark for home support? We'll get a lesson in the newfangled report cards tomorrow on Talk of the Nation. Right now, let's talk about retirement. Over the past few months, we've been tackling the sometimes confusing topic of personal finances and how to get them in order. We've talked about home mortgages, consolidating personal debt, investing in the markers. Today, in the fourth part of our series, let's talk about saving for your retirement. If you have a question about how to save for your retirement, give us a call at 800-989-8255 or email us at totn@npr.org. And joining us now, Elise Glink, author of 5 books on personal finance, including 50 Simple Steps You Can Take to Disaster-Proof Your Finances. She joins us from her home outside of Chicago. Welcome to the program.
Oh, it's nice to be here, Lynn.
Well, Elise, the obvious question about retirement is just how much is enough?
I'm wondering if anything is enough. Jeez, I'm listening to your show today on how much it's going to cost to pay for health care as we get older. That's more expensive. So I'm thinking the number might be up a little bit from where I was thinking earlier today when I was fuddling around on my computer for the show today.
And what did you come up with when you were fuddling around with your computer?
Well, it's sort of interesting. Most Americans have saved nothing or very little, and they're completely dependent on whatever's going to come out of Social Security, or maybe they've put aside some money in a 401k or now a Roth IRA. But I think the real numbers would scare a lot of people. If you earn $100,000 today and you're 40 years old and you have nothing saved for retirement, and I mean zip, don't even include your home equity, if you want to replace that $100,000 a year in retirement, say at age 65, and you expect to live 25 years, not out of the range, I guess if you're Japanese, you might be living a little longer than that, but like our Japanese friend who just died at 100, how old he was, 118, you would need something like $2.8 million to replace that $100,000 a year salary.
Okay, that's a scary figure.
Isn't that scary?
Yes.
And I thought, okay, well, maybe if I just don't play around with $100,000 a year, what if it's only $50,000 a year? And the answer is you still need over $1 million in the bank to, when on the day that you retired, to have that money last. And maybe that's the scariest thing of all. It's not so bad to kind of replace your income. You could always say, well, just work another couple of years. It's what happens when you get to 85 and 90 and working's no longer an option.
Yeah. Well, when you throw figures around like that, $1 million to $2 million, I almost think that people's reaction to that is just to, shrug and give up and say, "I there's no way I'm going to get there." How does somebody get there?
Well, I think that, the real, and again, I mean, I'm not a person who's given to magic tricks. I know there's some of us who are, but, the cold hard facts are if you don't save the money, it's not going to be there someday for you. So, when people say, how much do I need in retirement? Most financial planners will say to you 70 to 100% of your pre-retirement income or whatever you earn. In terms of savings, one of the things that I've learned over the years of my reporting on this for my books and in my columns is that if you can save 10% in your 20s, 20% of your gross income in your 30s, and if you've reached your 40s, you're probably doing okay at that level and continue thereon. But if you've gotten to 40% with nothing saved, you're going to have to save 30% of your annual income.
How many people do you think actually begin this process of saving in their 20s and 30s and even 40s?
I wish more did, because if you saved just $2,000 a year from 25 to age 35 and never saved a dime after it, you'd have slightly more money than if you started at 35 and put away that same $2,000 a year and kept going until you were 65 or 70. And that's just the benefit of saving with time, because as the years go on, time works in your favor, at least for money, if not for all the other things in life.
We are talking about how much money you might need for retirement with Elise Glink. If you'd like to join the conversation, the number is 1-800-989-8255. And let's go to Sarah, who is in Burlington, North Carolina, I believe. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. Well, I'm 25 years old, and I'm currently a graduate student. I don't make a whole lot of money, but I don't have any debt, and I can manage to save about $100 a month. So what I was wondering is it even worth saving that $100 a month and pinching so that I can save that now, or should I wait until, you know, I finish my PhD and I actually have a job?
Well, I don't know how many more years a PhD is, but I think you should save your $1,200 a year absolutely right now, and for several reasons. First of all, it would be awfully nice if in the next, say, 5 years, you set a goal for yourself of buying your first home. What most people in their 20s don't realize, but could realize, is that the younger you are when you buy your first home, the wealthier you'll be later in life. So you'll be wealthier at 65 if you can buy a home, say, before you're 30. And in fact, new numbers from the National Association of Realtors in the last week or so indicate that the percentage of people 25 and under who are buying their first homes is one of the fastest growing segments in the real estate industry. So I think you should save your money and try to buy a house with it. Maybe make that your graduation present.
Oh, good idea.
All right. Thanks for your call, Sarah. Let's go to Frances, and she is in Newport News, Virginia. Hi, Frances.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Oh, my question is, my husband and I, I'm 60 and he's 63. We'll both be a year older in November of this year. We have a 17-year-old son, and he's now working at the post office, and he's already military retired. But because we have my son for the last 4 years in private school, most of our money has gone to that, that we would have saved. My question is, how do we start saving money now for retirement?
You know, you're in a difficult position because it's not even that you've got another 20 years to go. You probably have your eyes fixed on retiring when? In the next maybe 5 years for you and your husband?
I'm already retired, but my son, but my husband is not sure of when he wants to retire.
Right. Well, the one thing about working at the post office and the federal government in general is that you generally get a pretty good pension. So when you guys retire, you're going to be able to automatically, between Social Security for you perhaps and pension for him and what other benefits that he's entitled to, that you'll both be able to replace a lot of that income. But working a couple of years longer is going to be a possibility for you in terms of saving. And then when your son graduates, you know, that money can be used that you've been paying all this time, can be used to help fund a retirement for you. And as I was thinking about earlier today, you should let your son probably borrow money for college because he'll be able to do that, but you won't be able to borrow for your retirement.
Okay, thanks so much for your call, Frances. Well, and that actually leads me to another question, which is, many people are sort of are told that they should save for their children's college education, but perhaps really feel that they can't do that and put money away for retirement at the same time. I mean, even if they're trying to plan ahead, say in their early 30s, let's say, and they're trying to figure out how do I save money. Where should the money go, to the college fund or to the retirement fund?
I always think it should go to your retirement fund first. And the reason I think that, I understand what happens because I'm, you know, in my, if I admit to it, my 30s, and I have two young kids, and I think, oh, they're going to be going to college before I retire. So I want to make sure that college is paid for. So when they retire, I don't have to worry about it. But that's actually the reverse of what you should be thinking. What you should think about is the fact that, again, there's going to be money, cheap money, real cheap money right now, in fact, available for your children to borrow to go to college. And when it comes for you, for your time to retire, if you don't have that money put away, you're going to be living off Social Security. And if your house is paid off, which I hope by that time it is, maybe a reverse mortgage or money that you'd get from that, or maybe you'd sell your house and rent somewhere. Your options are much more limited in retirement, and retirement's going to be expensive enough as it is. So plug the money first into a 401k or 403b, 457 plan, whatever option you have at work, a simple IRA, whatever it is, put away as much money as you can there, and then whatever's left, $25 a month, $100, $150, grandparent money, birthday money, that's the money that should go for your children's college education.
Elise Glink is the money reporter for WGN-TV in Chicago, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's go to Sheila in Indianapolis now. Hi, Sheila.
Hello. Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. I am 54 years old. I started when I was 30. I had a pension, but I fully contributed to my IRA. When the pension was discontinued, I fully contributed to my 401k plus my IRA. I have nowhere near $1 million, and I have been diligent. I hear this sum tossed out of $1 million all the time. I'm not a high-wage earner, obviously, but there's no way, despite my diligence, that I will ever have $1 million.
You know, Sheila, it's sort of interesting. You don't need $1 million to live on if you're able to replace your income in other ways. The $1 million number is what you need to put away if you have a $50,000 income and nothing else coming in. If you just want to entirely fund 30 years of retirement out of one single pot and you don't have pension, you don't have Social Security, that's the money you need. So you're not in that position. Look at you. You've probably got a house that you're working on paying off. You've got pension money that's going to come in and Social Security money and IRAs that you've been plugging away at. You've got lots of resources. So it may not all add up to $1 million, but it's probably going to be enough. Also, where you live dictates how much money you spend in retirement. If you live in an inexpensive community, which fortunately for you, Indianapolis still qualifies as a fairly inexpensive place to live, that's all the better. If you're trying to make it work in New York City at Trump Tower, not going to be so lucky.
Yeah, I mean, well, and let me ask you about owning a house. Does putting money into paying off a mortgage count as saving for retirement?
I think it's a great idea for a couple of different reasons. Yes, you are saving money, you're building equity, and you're building up a valuable asset that if you need to, you can always sell and use the money to live on. The other thing you can do is when your house is all paid off, you've freed up a whole lot of cash flow. If you're used to paying $1,300 a month for your mortgage and insurance, that's going to be money that you'll be able to use to live on because you won't be paying that mortgage anymore. You'll still have the insurance and taxes, but the mortgage won't be there.
All right, let's take a call from Elizabeth, and she is in Portland, Oregon. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Hi, I was wondering if there are any dangers in actually over-preparing for retirement so that you're strapped for cash on a daily basis, but you feel as though you're actually going to have more than you need when you retire.
You know, I was going to say before you said being strapped on a daily basis, I was going to joke that, no, the only danger is having all of your relatives who were grasshoppers rather than ants come after you. But if you're seriously strapped on a daily basis, you should reexamine either first what you're spending on a daily basis to see if there's anywhere else you can make cuts that would ease that up a bit, or cut back a little bit on the amount of money going forward that you're putting away for retirement. You know, I hesitate to say don't, you know, cut it out entirely, but if you've done a really good job of saving in your 20s and 30s, by the time you get to your 40s, you'll be able to maybe take a little bit back and start to spend it on some of the other expenses in your daily life. Other options, of course, would be to take a second job or to sort of realign your other priorities.
Okay.
Thanks for your call,
Thank
Elizabeth.
You. All right.
Something just that I want to clarify for myself. When you do throw around this million, you need $1 million if you're making $50,000 or $2 million or making $100,000. You're talking about if you want to have the exact same income as you had when you were working. Is that
That's
what you're saying?
100 right. If you wanted to replace your income,
but do you need that much in retirement? I guess that's my question.
Well, I don't know. The reliable people that I've gone to, the financial reporters, the experts, all these people over the years say that there's a range of between 70% and 100% of your pre-retirement income. And when you retire, you may even spend more than your pre-retirement income in the first few years because, hey, I'm free. Let's travel. Let's see plays. Let's go to the opera. You know, all these things that you've been saving up to do, and now you're doing it. And as you move into the later years of your retirement, it may be health fails you or you're too tired or you want to hang out with your kids and grandkids, you tend to spend less money. So when you average out over the spending over a 25-year period, most experts say it falls between 70 to 100% of your pre-retirement income. But you know what? You can figure it out for yourself. There are a whole lot of good websites. I have it in one of my books, 100 Questions You Should Ask About Your Personal Finances. Or you can go to choosetosave.org, which is from the American Savings Education Council's ballpark estimate. And that's a whole worksheet that'll walk you right through it.
Well, Lisa, all I have to say about all this is what I hear a lot of people saying, and that is, I'll probably be working forever.
Well, if you're doing this job, it's not so bad.
All right. Thanks very much, Elise.
Sure thing.
Elise Glink is a columnist, author, and journalist who specializes in personal finances. She joined us from her home outside of Chicago. In Washington, I'm Lynn Neary, NPR News.